evening and welcome to the 423rd episode of Travel Itch Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, and this is the 10th season of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel Itch Radio.
And our honored guest tonight is Flash Phelps of SiriusXM Satellite Radio's channel 60s on 6. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Flash.
Hey, all right. Good to be here. This is always fun to be able to talk about travel. And I know you and Mary Ellen, you always are able to talk travel just like I can. So this is right up my alley.
Sounds good to me. Well, you and I have a lot in common, Flash. We both love radio, travel, baseball, humor, photography, and dogs. I'm a longtime SiriusXM subscriber and a fan of your show. But what I don't understand is, how do you find the time to travel? Is it true you've been to all 50 states twice?
I've been to all 50 at least four, because the least amount of time I've been in any one state is Alaska at 4, Hawaii at 8, and then anything else besides that, it's been many, many times. So, no, I've done all 50 at least four, because of Alaska being the least amount. So, but no, I just love going everywhere. I started, it was all because of Ed McMahon, and I was a little kid, and we weren't able to travel. I went to California when I was not even 2 years old, so I don't remember that. And then I didn't remember going to Florida at 3. So when I started to get older, we could only afford to go to a place like Wildwood, New Jersey, or down to King's Dominion, because I'm right in the Baltimore area. So I decided, you know what, I want to go see something. And at the age of 14, I got a chance to take a trip up to New York City. My sister, being a pro duck pin bowler, had to go bowl in New England. So we had to go to Rhode Island. And my mom said, you want to go? And I said, yeah, it was great. So I went to see New York City and then drove up through Connecticut and Rhode Island and then came back. And my dad said to me, now I'm 16, he said, if there's any other place you could go, where would you want to go? And I said, Hollywood. And he goes, Hollywood? Why Hollywood? I said, because I see it on TV all the time. Well, he won a contest at work. He had some money, and he said, we're going to go to California. So when I went to California, I saw Southern California and came back. And then by this time, I had gotten this internship in radio. And then I just wanted to start traveling as far as I could, because I got my first job, and then it was in North Carolina. And by the time I had gotten to 1989, I was now 23 years old, and I had been to 49 states. And then after I had lost both my mom and dad, I had some money. So instead of going to Alaska, the last state I needed to go into, I went to the UK. I went to places where I could hear radio that spoke English. So I went to Hong Kong. I went to Australia twice. I went to New Zealand. I went back out to Hawaii. I went to Ireland and did Bermuda. So once I did all those, I said, you know what? At this time, I'm now 29, and I said, I better go to Alaska to complete my 50 states. So I went to Alaska at the age of 29, and that completed my all 50 the first time. And then after that, you know, I just love traveling ever since then.
Well, since your show is on during the week, Flash, do you spend all your weekends and holidays on the road?
I did back when I did the All 50 at 50s. I did that on my own. That was not company paid for, and I set out to do all 50 states while I was 50 years old. And as soon as I did it, and I did it in 9.5 months. So I did, and that had to be almost every weekend. There were only two or three weekends of that entire year. And then I saved Hawaii for last to be able to complete it, and that was in January of the next year. So then I said, you know what, if I go back to Alaska, I could probably do all 50 in the calendar year. So in 2017, I did all 50 in the calendar year by being able to start in Hawaii and doing Alaska, and then I drove back to every one of them. I was flying then. I haven't flown since the pandemic, but I drive it now. I just drove all the way out to the West Coast and back. So I've already been in 2021, I've been in 34 states. I just counted up. So 34 states in 2021, all driving. So, and four of them are very close. I haven't been in Maine, Rhode Island, South Carolina, or Florida. but I've been in 36 or 34 states just in 2021.
So yeah. do you plan ahead, or you just get in the car and go? And also, what kind of vehicle do you drive, and where do you stay?
So I started out by just taking the time, and a lot of times I'll work a holiday. So this last time I was off for 10 days, and I only had to take 2 vacation days. So what I do is I'll work a holiday. So I work Memorial Day, and I had Juneteenth work, so that was 2 right there. I had 2 of the personal days followed by 2 vacation days, which led to being off Friday through the following Monday. And because I can work on the road, I didn't need to be back. So I did part of my radio show from Butte, Montana, then from Bismarck, North Dakota, and then from Wisconsin to Illinois, and then got back to be able to be back in Maryland. So I can do my show from the road as long as I have Wi-Fi. And I drive a Honda Civic because when I came to work here 21 years ago, I had a Probe is what I drove. And when it was dying, one of the guys from 70s on 70 said, "You need to get a Civic." And I said, "Why?" He said, "That thing will go miles and miles the way you drive." So that's all I've gotten. So the car before this one went 500,000 miles. I got that thing to just keep on moving across the country. And that was a 2012 car I got in 2011, I think is how it works. Yeah, so that's how I did that one. And then this last car I just got 3 years ago. It's not even 3 years old, and it's almost at 177,000 miles in the last 3 years. So I average 60,000 to 80,000 miles. The car gets 44. It just this last trip, I did 6,600 miles. I got 44.9 miles to the gallon and drove over the Rocky Mountains twice, so out and back. And so it gets great gas mileage. So I'm a big supporter of that, thanks to 20 years ago when I did get my first one. And it takes me a lot of places.
Do you have to have a reason to go somewhere, such as a festival or a special event?
No, they're usually what I stay away from. If there's something big going on, I know I'm not going to be able to get the photos as well because there's going to be too many people. So I try to go, an example, if I want to get a photo at a baseball stadium, and I've gone to so many of the stadiums, I actually like going at times when they're not there because I can get even better photos that are really clean without having to erase tons of people in the photo. So you'll notice when I do my photos, I take my tripod with me. I set up the tripod, put it on the 10-second timer, and then go ahead and hop in front of it after I frame the shot, and then I get the photo. So I have over millions of photos just here on my computer, and as long as they're labeled great and they have anything I'm looking for, something's happening. I can type it in and find that photo right away. One of our guys over in the 70s on 7, Human Newman, he just asked me, he said, hey, do you have Going to the Sun Road? And, oh, of course I have that. So I just pulled up one and I put it, and they're like, oh, my gosh, they were laughing. And they're like, that was really cool because they can, like, people call and can request a song. Well, with them, they'll request photos. I get that all the time. Somebody will go, hey, you have a photo with this? And, yes, I probably do. And I try to find it. But, yeah, and what I do with hotels, a lot of them, since I get a lot of points as well. So the other day, and I can tell you this, in Montana, it is just really expensive. There's so many people traveling the country right now. So when I got to Missoula, I said, well, I can make it down to Butte. So I started looking on my app, and every hotel was $312 or higher. So I used my points at 15,000 points and was able to get it, because even if it would have cost $100, because I had stayed at the same hotel before, and I was right there overlooking I-15 at I-90, and it was, you could look up at Our Lady of the Rockies statue up on the top of the mountain. So it's a beautiful area, but I said, why is it so high? They said, for the last 6 weeks, we have been sold out because all these people are coming to Montana and they can get the money. So that's one of the things. I was talking to Janine, and she was talking about her airline prices that she's dealing with. And she said, do you know, she needed to go to she's got to be in St. George, Utah. And she said, you know how much it's costing me to get to St. George for this thing? It was $900. And it's like, oh, my gosh, Vegas is going for about $600 from the east. And she said it's just really crazy. So you need to buy early now. So I'm seeing some just crazy prices. Gas, I found from $4.12. It was even higher than that in some of the places. But that was one of the highest I got here. There, it's about $3. in Maryland. So I wanted to come back east to get cheaper gas.
We're talking with Flash Phelps of SiriusXM Satellite Radio 60s on 6.
Flash, your fans can find Flash Phelps reminders everywhere, including a billboard that says, "Welcome to Flassachusetts." And is it true there's a Flash Phelps bust on Mount Rushmore?
That's there are so many places. That's the Flassachusetts one. That was actually a listener that made the first change. And I said, "Hang on, I got to go back up." So I went back up and I took a photo with the sign, and then I realized, okay, how can I make MASS turn into PHLASH? Well, the okay, you have a C in Chusetts, and you have a L and to, or the M. All I had to do was cut off the M and invert the C. So if you take the C and invert it to the top of the M, if you realize you just had you have a straight line, and now that same C is upside down to make the letter P. I was able to get every one of the letters from Massachusetts into P-H-L-A-S-H-A-C-H-U-T-T-S. So that's how I did that.
How about Mount Rushmore?
Mount Rushmore, I just love going. The one thing that I always give tips on is if you're going to Mount Rushmore, go in the morning. A lot of people don't know that all the faces face to the east on the mountain. So if you're there on a sunny day, let's say you're in Rapid City and you're heading down, it'll take you about 35 minutes to get down there. And once you get there and you start climbing the hill, you'll start seeing the faces. But if it's sunny, you definitely want to be there sometime before around noon. The higher the sun gets at Mount Rushmore, the darker the faces get, and it's harder to get your photo. So if you want the best photos between about 9 and 11 is one of the best places to go. They open at 7 o'clock for you to get in there. So that's a big tip I always give people.
And for Travel Itch Radio listeners who don't know, Flash is like the Flash from comic books and TV. He talks fast, moves fast, and covers a lot more ground than anybody else. He also manages to change anything that has an F into a PH, such as Florida and National Football League. How and when did the Flash nickname originate?
That actually came from the Flash Gordon thing with the name Gordon, and then people would say Flash Gordon, and then I had my internship, the guy always was calling me Captain Flash. So then I originally recorded under the name Captain Flash Phelps, and then I dropped the captain and I got that first job, and off the air I heard one guy say, "Oh, that song feels like it's taking me to the funny farm," and I went, that's it. I said, instead Zoo, I'll do the funny farm. Now it's going to become PHLASHOPHNYPHARM, and then it would become PHROM, which would mean from, and then whatever city. And I worked in places like Fort Wayne, they had another F, so it became Flash Phelps Funny Farm from Fort Wayne, all the PHs. So that was PHLASHOPHNYPHARM PHRTWAYNE, and then that's how I did it. So it became all those, and I love doing things fast, whether or not it was flash of the pan, out of my head, on the air, off the wall, above, on 9 below, 250, up the tree, down, never herself. So I would do things like that. And I had loved Wonderful Wino Radio with George Carlin. Luckily, I got a chance to talk to George. I met him in person. He came to XM at the time, and I told him I was inspired by Wonderful Wino Radio, and I just want to do top 40 radio that way. So stacks and stacks and wax, 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 pick like a once, watch, hold you, because you know it was good. We had the top 1,500 in the world of Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. So when I told him that I did that, and I said it turned into me doing the 60s. But when they came to me and they said, "We want you to do the 60s, I said, "I don't know anything about the 60s. They said, "There's something about what you do that sounds 60s. I said, "Oh." I said, when I interned, a guy I worked for, that guy who named me Captain Flash, was a big 60s radio fan, and he gave me tapes of Dan Ingram and John Records Landecker. I got all these really cool tapes, custom producing. I went, these guys are incredible. So I based a show with my PHs off of their wacky style, and that's how it came about. I love Joey Reynolds. So I said, hiya, hiya, and I did the Oath. That's one thing that he did. So when I met Art Volo in Novi, he's the radio's best friend, he said, you're like a young Joey Reynolds. I said, he inspired a lot of what I did. I go, this is all from tape. And then when XM saw a video that I had done in 1990, so the year's 2000, 10 years later, they saw a video, and I was shooting rubber bands at the CD player, and they thought it was so wacky. I got an email that said, you're our kind of nut, but we're not hiring till the fall of 2000. Well, that was May. So by July, I took another job. I went back to Fort Wayne. I was working in Washington State, and I was there 4 days, and they called me, and they said, we need you to come to D.C. I said, but it's July. This isn't the fall. He goes, get on a plane. And they flew me to D.C., and I started telling them about all the problems I had in radio, and they said, well, that's why we wanted to talk to you. They said, we want to know if you want to come do this and do the 60s, and then they said, you can learn the music. We just can't teach anybody to do what you do. We can't afford the people who make who did that radio in the 60s. A lot of those people still go on today. We just can't afford them. We need somebody like you that can come and recreate it to put people in that kind of sound. And I said, well, it's perfect because I've been all over the country, and I can relate to an entire audience by specifically talking to somebody if they are in certain cities, whichever one you pick. I'll tell you something about that town. So I use that to my advantage on the air all the time to take a national show and make it local by talking about the middle of the country and these markets that aren't even served by too much radio. And that's how you – they have to get me the subscribers. But once the subscriber's there, it's my job to turn them into a fan. And that's what will keep them subscribed.
Well, Flash, you obviously like speed. Cousin Brucey, your former colleague on 60s on 6,
yeah,
used to be the poster boy for fast-talking DJs. Was he an inspiration to you, or just a guy who influenced you to get your own thoroughbred racehorse?
When he had his racehorse, he did. Once I got a chance to work with him after the merger in 2008, then I heard, you know, he had the racehorse named Cousin Brucey. So Dave Rodman worked for us under a different name. He was Marty with the Party. He came down and worked for us, but his main job was calling racehorses. So he was listening to me one day, and I made the comment on the air. I said, hey, I think I want a horse that has my name. So when I said that, he sent me an email, and he said, are you serious about wanting a horse with your name? I said, sure. Well, he goes, hold on, I know breeders. So he got a hold of a breeder, and the breeder goes, oh, I love that. I have a yearling that doesn't have a name. She said, I just need your permission. Can I actually put in for Flash Phelps? And she did, and the horse got the name. A year later, he started racing, and by the time he got through, he became the Maryland Horse Racer of the Year for turf, because he was really good on turf, so he won a lot in that year. So that was a really cool thing to have. Dave did a lot of those calls every time that he'd be racing, and he raced the race right before Pimlico for the Preakness just about 2-3 years ago now. And it was really cool because I had a lot of people reaching out, because that was on, they ran that race right before the Pimlico, and so you got to see my name in there on national TV. It was really cool. So I love that.
Very
Mary
cool.
Ellen?
Speaking of animals, tell us about your longtime canine companion, Clyde.
Yeah, Clyde came from Indiana, and I worked in Indiana 5 years. And my girlfriend at the time had a beagle, but she had to give a beagle up. And she's like, well, let's go see these beagles. So we went out to see them. And next thing you know, there was one that was running by himself. He was the solo one. He wasn't with the other ones. And she said, I like that one. And I was like, oh, my gosh, am I going to really get a dog? Next thing you know, I'm driving home back to Fort Wayne with the dog. And, you know, I get fired. And then I'm moving all over the place. We moved to Charleston and then to Rochester. No, where would you go next? Yeah, Rochester, New York to Saginaw, Michigan. And then I got a job in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And they told me, don't bring your dog. And I said, there's no way I'm bringing the dog. So here's a wacky story that happened with Clyde. Because I get him to the airport in Saginaw, Midland, Michigan, and as soon as I walked in the airport door, guess what happened? The bottom of his cage broke and fell to the floor, which let him out. He didn't want to be in that cage, so he ran all over the airport, and all the people were laughing. He ran all the way up to security, and finally he ran into a hallway, and they said, it's locked. You got him trapped now. And he came back so slow, and the airport security helped me get him in there again, and we got him to the Virgin Islands. And then so I had him down there and then finally brought him back. But I got him to 48 states and into, what was it, a couple of provinces of Canada. He had been in, and he had also been in two of the territories for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And then the only two places he hadn't been were Alaska and Hawaii. So after he died 10 years ago, I got his ashes, and I took them to Hawaii and put some of them at Haleakala Crater on Maui. He's also on the Kona Coast of Maui, and he's at Diamond Head on Oahu. And then I took him up to Fairbanks, Alaska, and he's in a ice bridge. And it was I was able to put his ashes in the water that can turn into ice. So they're the places where he's located. And I still have some of the ashes left. So I don't. Maybe he'll get buried with me. But what a great dog.
Oh, yeah.
Flash, do your favorite places all have to have roller coasters?
No, that's how I originally would do it. I would have a couple loves, and it was number one, riding roller coasters, and I just rode my 722nd. I rode two more while I was out, one new one in Utah, one new one in Idaho. And so I add to that list, and all I need to do is ride it once. So I used to go and ride coasters. I'd air check the radio, which is tape the radio stations. I'd learn so much about each market. And that's how I learned so much about even the roads. I'd follow the Rand McNally and follow traffic reports in all the cities and hear them say local cities. So I would learn how things were pronounced in different places. So that's how I learned so much about America. Not only look on a map, but going there, because when you see the terrain, you go, you know what, I've been looking at this on a flat map, but now I'm here, I know that hill, I know what it looks like, so I can describe it a lot better. But so coasters don't have to be a big part of it. I do try to work them in if I can. So I did pass up a number that I wasn't able to ride. I like going early, so I don't have to stand in too many lines. If I get there as soon as they open, I can ride it and then get out, because I got other things to do. There's more travel to do instead of sitting there at an amusement park all day long. So that's my object.
Okay, I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel It Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. We're on iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, and Facebook. Check out the archive show at your convenience. And we're talking with Flash Helps of SiriusXM Satellite Radio's 60s on 6. We mentioned Cousin Brucey. Who else influenced your career, Flash? I know you're a fan of Casey Kasem and Rick Dees.
Yeah, I was. Casey Kasem, because I've always wanted to hear American Top 40. So I learned a lot about the music, because by the time I was 14, I was behind on so many of the songs. But once I got into high school, I wanted to learn them all. So I would get Billboard magazine and write them down, and then Casey would count them down. So I got to learn all the songs that way. So he got me into that part, and I got to meet him in 2005, which was just so much fun. And I got to do the Casey off, where we all got to do our favorite Casey Kasem sound right here on the flashy flash him right here on American Top 40. So when I was in there and hanging with him, it was so much fun, and I really enjoyed that. Now, I met Rick Dees only once, and the day I should have met him was the day I'm sitting at my desk at XM. And he's standing behind me, but I didn't realize it, and I didn't turn around. I knew somebody was standing behind me watching me, but I didn't turn around. And then all of a sudden, he walks away, and a guy comes over. He goes, "They're bringing in the big guys now." And I said, "Who was that behind me?" I didn't turn around. He goes, "Rick Dees was standing right behind you." So I am so upset that I didn't turn around, because I would have said, "Hey, everybody, it's Rick Dees. Rick, you are great. Welcome back, buddy." So I would have given Rick a little how much he inspired me. It was the sound effects that he used and just how crazy he was that made me say, that's the type of radio. So they were some of the big influences. Willie B was the first I ever got to see in the studio, which is a really cool story. So Willie B was here in Baltimore, and my dad asked if we could go see the studio after I won a contest. And he's telling me about his career, how he's moved all over. Well, here I'm 15 years old. Well, he didn't even know that later. He hears about me on XM and Sirius XM, and I reached out to him, and I told him about that story about how I was in his studio. He goes, "Oh, my gosh, I know exactly who you are. You traveled the country," and he knew all about me. He had no idea I was the kid that was in his studio that was inspired by him when I was 15 years old. So we became really good friends again, he not knowing that he inspired me just so I could see that studio the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Flash, since you're a DJ who loves music and travel, do you especially love songs that are about travel? I'm thinking about our theme song, Traveling Man, not to mention Chicago, New York, Georgia, and so many more.
Yep. That's what I love so much of those. And I love the fast ones as well. And some of the places, again, you know, Norman, Oklahoma is even mentioned in the song Life is a Rock. So when my sister had the 45, I had played over and over, and I wrote down what I thought he was saying. Later on the internet, I found out that some of the words I had were wrong. But to learn B.B. Bumble and the Stingers, Monty Burr, H.L. Stingers, Lonnie Mack, and Twang, and Indy, Here's Where We're Going, Steady, Take It Easy, Take Me Higher, Liar, Liar, House on Fire, Locomotion, Poker Passion, Deeper Purple, Satisfaction, Baby, Baby, You Gotta, Gimme, Gimme, Getting Hotter, Sammy, Sitting Love, Victoria, Richie, Valentine, Curry, My Feast, Fujiyama, Camp, Sutra, Rama, Lama, Richard Berry, Spectre, Berry, Righteous, Narson, Nelson, Harry, Shimmy, Shimmy, Cocoa Bob, and Pat the Bag, and Finger Popping. So when I learned even the first verse and I got through the whole song, I just loved that so much. And then I got into, I got a Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck, you got a copy on me, Pig Pen, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Pig Pen, for sure, by golly, it's clean, clear to Flag Town, come on. So I loved weird and wacky songs, and that was all about travel. That was L.A. to the Jersey line to, so they could crash the gate doing 98. I said, let the truckers roll 10-4.
Now, is it your personal knowledge of history and geography that made those topics such vital parts of your show?
Later it did. It didn't when I was growing up. As a kid, I really didn't enjoy it as much. And then when I started traveling and I saw history, next thing you know, I wanted to learn all about, like, why didn't I pay attention to this in school? Well, because I wasn't interested. But once I traveled and got to see it, and it meant so much more. So I can understand a kid sitting in a class with a book, because I wasn't interested in it as well. So, but when I got out there and saw it, now I wanted to know, what happened here? What was this all about? And that's how I've learned so much about the historical parts of places I've gone. So that's one thing I do follow up on. Yep.
And is it true that you were part of Sirius XM before satellite radio even went on the air?
Yeah, that time when they originally got a hold of me, we didn't have a radio that worked. We didn't have satellites in the air, and I decided to take the job. So when I came to D.C., they knew they wanted what I did eventually, and they said they didn't want me to not be there by the time they finally got on the air. So I started on August 21st, the 21st anniversary on the way of 2000, and then they said, oh, we'll be on the air by later this year. And then later this year meant September, we were going to be on September the 12th of 2001, and as we all know, what happened that morning of Monday morning on the 12th, here it is, or Tuesday morning, the September 11th, and we're supposed to be on Wednesday the 12th, and so obviously that got canceled, and I'm sitting there in D.C. You can see the smoke from the Pentagon from our studios, because you could see top of Capitol building, and you could look beyond it to the south, and so the smoke from the Pentagon was coming out, and we didn't know what the future was. Late September, we did get on the air, and we went to all 48 states on November the 12th of 2001, and 7 years to the day later, we became Sirius XM. The official merger was the seven-year anniversary of XM officially being in 48 states. I'm one of the only people who knows that, because so many don't know the history because the originals aren't there anymore. We have, I think, three of us. We have a photo that was taken in 2000 that has 40-some people in it, and there's three of us left working here.
Okay, running out of time, unfortunately. I want to thank Flash Phelps of Sirius XM Satellite Radio 60s on 6. Great having you on, Flash.
Well, thank you. You two are fantastic. I love all your stories as well. So thank you for having the archive as well so many can go in and listen.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And that's it for this edition of Travel with Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writers, same announcers. We'll talk with Robert Ahrens of Evans Hotels about one of America's great resorts, the Lodge at Torrey Pines. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.